Blog Talk Radio. Are you ready for a radical shift in perception, one that may challenge and profoundly alter your idea of who you are and what your purpose is on this planet? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, creator of Healing Through Love seminars, 30 Love Lessons for Your Soul, and the current Men in Love series, a virtual summit that's going on right now in the next few weeks. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Doctors Ron and Mary Homick are pioneers and worldwide leaders in the field of spiritual psychology, as well as teachers and facilitators of awakening in consciousness. They are renowned educators, authors, and the founding faculty and co-directors of the University of Santa Monica, USM, where they have designed, developed, and facilitated educational programs for the past 35 years. Both are licensed marriage and family therapists, and Mary is a licensed clinical psychologist. They are also the authors of Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology, published by Hay House and available in 12 countries and 8 languages. So I am thrilled to introduce you to Dr. Mary and Dr. Ron Homick. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Erica. We're delighted to be here.
We're having fun already.
I know. And I'm so excited to hear about the spiritual aspect, because a lot of therapists and a lot of people, coaches and different people, don't even touch on the spiritual aspect. But let's begin with your telling about your background, your education, training, experience. What led you to work in this way and then to write such an awakened and enlightening book?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Well, from the time I was very little, people would talk to me about their challenges and issues. And even when I was a tiny little girl, adults would confide in me. And so I developed a very compassionate heart, or maybe I had it all along, and I really felt a deep empathy for people and a desire to make a difference in the areas that mattered most to them. And so I pursued graduate training in that area, became a licensed psychologist, and as I began my professional life, I really became aware that most people were dealing with a deep identification with unworthiness. And I, through my own process of spiritual awakening, began to realize that this, bringing the spiritual dimension into working with people, was critical if they were to really wake up into the awareness of who they truly are and to have true healing.
My beginnings were a little different from Mary's, although I always had that sense of there's got to be more to life than what we're seeing. But the way that I came up, I was always interested in ESP and flying saucers and all of that kind of stuff. And so I came in through that door, also found my way to psychology, and the rest is history. And, you know, what most people don't realize is that the word psyche really means soul. If you go and look it up in the dictionary, that's what you will find. But somehow psychology got sidetracked onto the science or the study of mind and behavior. And my first teacher used to say that the reason psychology was inspired onto the planet in the first place was because humanity forgot why it was here. And so that's been our mission all along, to bring it back, bring psychology back into its rightful place. And we call it spiritual psychology, although actually speaking, that's really redundant because that's what it really is all along.
And the book really came into being through an online program that we created called Loyalty to Your Soul, which is the name of the book we wrote about 5 or 6 years ago. And when we completed that offering, it was an 8-week online course. I said to our director of online education, I'd like to come up with some kind of offering that would be supported for people. And that we came up with this idea to create a program called 33 Days of Awakening, which was a very fun, creative offering. And when it completed, Ron and I were having dinner with Ariana Huffington and her sister Agape, and just sharing with each other what we've been up to. We mentioned 33 Days of Awakening, and Ariana became quite interested in it. And she said, I would love to offer this to a portion of our Huffington Post readership. And so Agape came and looked at the program, and we agreed to do it. And what was so amazing to us, Erica, was that over 20,000 people from 138 countries signed up for this little 33 Days of Awakening offering. And we were just thrilled to have people from all over the world participating. And after that completed, I said to myself, this could become a book. This material could be expanded and deepened, and I would really enjoy doing that. So I sent it off to Reed Tracy, the CEO of Hay House, who published Loyalty to Your Soul as well, and said to him, how about it? And he said, we would love to do this book. So that's how this book came into manifestation. And it's really designed, Erica, with chapters such that a person could read one chapter every 2 weeks for 26 weeks and work with the practices that are presented at the end of each chapter. And they would have a course that would take them for 52 weeks through the year.
Wow. You've done a lot, and you've done it the right way. You started by creating the courses and then getting the interest in it, and then you created the book about it. It's like, that's interesting.
And it's also important, I think, for people to know that this is not a book that came from our thinking up concepts and studying for long periods of time. And this material comes out of 35 plus years of experience at working with people at USM. Our courses are all highly experiential, and people learn through doing, not through reading. I mean, they get ideas through reading, but they really learn by doing.
Absolutely. But now I have a question for you. You have a term that you say, enter the spiritual context. What do you mean by that, and why is that important?
Well, it's not just important, it's crucial. And here's why. For most people, they live in what we call a world of out there. We have experiences and we see things that are happening, and it's all happening out there. And based upon that, we determine, we've been brought up to see the world through this lens. we're taught that the things out there determine our inner experience. So if something that we define as a good thing happens, then we are happy. And if something happens that we define as a bad thing, then we're not happy or we're angry or whatever. But we stop and we say, well, let's turn it around a little bit. Where are the actual experiences happening? And it doesn't take but a minute for people to realize the experience itself is happening within. It's happening within me. I'm responding to what I observe going on in the world. So might it be possible for me to actually become more conscious of and learn how to positively work with my own inner experience such that I don't make my life dependent upon what's going on out there in the world? I become an independent person. Not that I don't have to deal out there in the world, we do, but I don't have to allow it to determine my inner state. And that was a huge breakthrough.
And part of what we mean by spiritual context is we assist people to become aware that they really are a spiritual being having and using a human experience for learning and for awakening. And inside the spiritual context, there's the goal line of life, the line that has to do with physical world, with reality, with our relationships, with finances, with our career, our family, our health. And then there's the soul line of life, which really has to do with awakening into the awareness that our essential loving nature is, our essential nature is love, and to live our life more from inside that awareness.
See, and that's why we came upon this notion of spiritual psychology, because when we began to delve deeper and deeper into consciousness as the realm of our work rather than the world out there, lo and behold, we discovered what every sage and mystic has been saying down through eternity, is that when you get really down to the essence of who you are, lo and behold, you find that everything is loving. It all derives from loving. And so people were beginning to have those experiences where they would awaken into that awareness. But that was really only the first step, because then came the really challenging part, which had to do with living one's life according or in harmony with that awareness. Not so easy to do, because physical world reality doesn't see it that way.
I saw something that you wrote, that you talk about the goal line and the soul line, the distinction, and you say this accelerates spiritual awakening through using the scientific method. And one of the problems that spiritual teachers and spiritual teachings have run into is that there are all these people that want scientific proof.
Yes.
So how do you use the scientific method?
Well, actually, we very, very, very much use the scientific method. We just don't use it quite the way that most people who deem themselves scientific would use it. See, the challenge is that in order for something to be considered scientifically verifiable, it has to be observable by everybody. So if someone
mm-hmm.
builds a bridge, we can all say, well, yes, we can see that we go over that bridge, and that's how we prove it. But when you're dealing with spiritual science, the condition of publicity of data goes away, and everything is self-validated. So you try out different experiences. We have people do, let's say, a relationship project where we set up a baseline, we set up variables, we set up strategies for implementation, we track the strategies, and then at the end we report, or we have people report on whether they perceived any change in their consciousness or not, pertaining to whatever it is that we're studying. And so the methodology is the same. The only thing that's relaxed is this condition of physical publicity of the data and the results. That's really the only difference. Now, a lot of scientists would say, what do you mean? That's the whole point of the whole thing. And I would say, yes, that's true in physical world reality only. It's not true in spiritual reality.
This is fascinating because I do a type of body therapy, and so many issues are stored in the body. And we just had a discussion on a listserv of mine where someone says, but there's no scientific proof. And it's the kind of thing that it's not so easy to show it scientifically for everybody to see, but the person knows.
Yeah, well,
and it taps into the spirituality.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that's important, is that the person knows.
Well, and from our point of view, the steps of the scientific method are just a perfect process that people can use to become more aware of their own inner experience and to actually track it and notice some of the microscopic changes that occur over time that actually lead to some really positive outcomes for people. And we find this approach very, very empowering.
Let me give you an example. The very first night of classes when we start a program, we have people do a very simple process. They're in what we call trio format, so they're in three-person process. And they rotate around, and what they do is what they're practicing is the soul of listening.
The skill of listening?
The skill of what we call heart-centered listening. And we do it in a particular way, and we tell them what to look for. And at the end of this process, which takes about an hour, we raise this question. Because it's the first night, no one has ever, you know, they're largely with people they don't know. And we might have 100, 150, 200 people in the room. And we raise this question. We say, how many of you, given that you didn't know the people in your trio before you came in, how many of you experienced what you would define as an enhanced sense of intimacy? And I'd say about somewhere between 95 and 100% of the hands go up. And this has been happening for the last 36 years. Now, an absolute physical level scientist would say, well, that's not proof. But from our perspective, that's very much proof, because people, 95% of the class, was able to answer that something shifted inside of them. Although, how do you measure intimacy? So you can't measure that quality in a physical, scientific way, because the experience is not happening out there. It's happening inside the person. So from our perspective, that's valid science. It's just not physical science.
Well, there may be a way to test the heart rate and the blood pressure and the hormone levels, you know, if anything like that changed.
Well, could be. I'm content with hearing them say that they got closer to other people.
Well, and part of...
Hearing it from the real people.
The people are
telling you, so... Yeah.
And part of what we've been blessed with, Erica, our program's gone on over time. So our entry-level program is 10 months, and we have programs where people participate with us for 2 or 3 years. So we really get to know these people, and we witness the transformation in their consciousness, and we witness the transformation in their lives. And that, for us, is very inspiring and uplifting.
It sounds wonderful, but now I have a question that I've heard this so often, that problems and unresolved issues can be seen as blessings. So they certainly don't feel like blessings when they're happening. So
absolutely.
Tell us about how that comes about.
Well, let's use the analogy of, let's say that you were in a dimly lit room and you had a rheostat where you could turn up the light, you know, and many light switches work this way. So there would be no way for you to tell that it was getting brighter if there wasn't a continuum between dark and light. So there has to be this kind of a continuum in order for a physical world reality to exist. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have heat without cool. And you can't have loving without its opposite, whatever you want to call that. Some people call it evil. We just call it negativity. So once you start to learn how to use this technology that we call spiritual psychology, what you are really learning how to do is turn up the light switch of loving. And it doesn't happen by it doesn't happen as much by turning up the light as it happens by removing the dark glasses that we're wearing one pair at a time. And so spiritual awakening really becomes the removal of negativity, just like one would remove clouds in order to see the sunlight. So we learn how to let go of that which is negative inside of us, and all that's left is this light that really, it's been called love accurately throughout history. And that's the way that the process works. So back to your question, once you learn how to use this process, then every area in your life where there's darkness, you say, oh, here's an area where obviously I've got some sunglasses on that I need to learn how to remove. And once I remove them, I see the light and the love that was there all along. Once you move into that consciousness where you start seeing all of the things that are going on in your life that you perceive as wrong as opportunities to move more fully into the light, it's in that sense that we say unresolved issues are a blessing. But you have to understand what that means and how to work it in order for it to make any sense.
You know what, so I would add to
for
that,
an example. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Please go ahead, Erica.
Oh, I was just going to ask, like, what if someone, you're in an abusive relationship and, you know, you want to have compassionate forgiveness for the other person, for yourself, and to see it as a blessing. How do you do that?
Well, a situation like that is a very challenging learning opportunity. And often what I have found, Erica, is that people have so misidentified themselves as unworthy, and they grew up in an environment where there was physical abuse. And so in their consciousness, abuse and love got paired together, and this can be very, very confusing for people.
See, when we talk about forgiveness, compassionate self-forgiveness, we're not. It's not about forgiving the other person for the terrible thing that they did, because as long as you're holding it as a terrible thing, you will continue the judgment that you have against them and about what happened. It'll just be at a more subtle level. And now, again, don't get me wrong, we are not condoning things like abuse. What we're saying is the real payday, the real pay dirt, the real aha comes when you learn how to release the judgment that you have inside where you are making that person wrong. As long as you have judgment inside, really, you are continuing to abuse yourself.
And part of it is also to come into an awareness of yourself as a divine being, a spiritual being who is intrinsically worthy and who deserves to be treated with love and respect, and especially first and foremost by yourself. Outer experience is a reflection of inner reality. The beliefs that we hold about ourselves attract experiences to us. And these are not easy learning experiences, but we have seen people really move from very, very difficult circumstances and really triumph not only over the circumstance, but inside themselves, is standing up more fully in the being that they are.
So the important thing here is that we're not trying, first and foremost, to change the person's circumstance. We're not trying, first and foremost, although anything that is obviously harmful, we would counsel people get out of there as quickly as possible. But what we're saying is that if you have that going on in your life, one of the first things that we'd be exploring with you is where inside of yourself are you abusing yourself? Because why is it that you are attracting that kind of a situation? So we're not making the situation right. We're saying, you're in there. Let's use it. Let's use it for you to let go of whatever the judgments are that you have associated with this. And let's help you work on changing the situation outside at the same time. We've seen many, many instances of both of those changing.
Powerful. So I have one more question, really. You talk about listeners communing with the divine through prayer. Is there a certain way to pray? And what do you describe as prayer? How does someone do this?
Well, prayer, from our point of view, the most important thing is for it to be heartfelt. And, you know, part of what I think is important is our prayers of gratitude rather than a laundry list of requests to the divine about what should be delivered to you. I think prayers of gratitude and prayers from the heart. And we do a simple process of simply placing people and situations into the light. We have a number of graduates and friends, personal friends, who've been going through very challenging medical situations. One of the things we encourage people to do is to make what we refer to as a light list, a list of people and circumstances that they want to present to Spirit and ask Spirit's assistance. The other thing that we feel is very important in prayer or with a prayer list is to add the statement, this or something better for the highest good. In other words, there's been a lot of research done, Erica, that has shown that unconditional prayer is actually more effective than conditioned prayer.
In other words, instead of praying that someone's cancer is healed, you would pray living light be placed with that person so that that which is for their highest good be brought forward. Because we don't presume that we know what's really for the highest good of anybody from a spiritual perspective. We don't consider ourselves that wise.
Well, you're both wise in a heartfelt way. So my final question actually is, how can our listeners get in touch with you, and what trainings and what do you have coming up? So please share that.
One of the best ways is to go to the universityofsantamonica.edu. That is USM's website. And this summer in August, we're going to be offering a weekend workshop called Loyalty to Your Soul, which is a wonderful introductory event where people can have the opportunity to experience these principles and practices as they relate to their own consciousness and to the situations and circumstances in their own lives. It's a very healing workshop. It's also very empowering, and it's a way for people to get the basics. In addition, we're having an event in June that will be an evening event focusing on remembering the light within. And so we want to invite your listeners to check the website for that date and that event as well.
And, you know, Erica, speaking of prayer, our favorite prayer or our favorite quote, one of our favorites, Meister Eckhart, who said, if the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, that will be sufficient.
Wow. Beautiful. So both of you, I'm so grateful to you for sharing this insight, because so many people are struggling and they want to be spiritual and they read a book, but it's not good enough. They really need to have that experience like the ones that you offer. And where are you located?
We're located on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica, California.
Wilshire and 21st.
Well, thank you so much for coming to the radio show today.
Thank you so much, Erica. Really a pleasure to meet you and get to know you.
Thank you. And for the listeners, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report about how to live to 100 and be healthy and happy. And if you're ready to create lasting love, I have my 30-day love challenge called 30 Love Lessons for the Soul. So I look forward to speaking to you again soon.